Open our Bibles up to John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. We began last week looking at the eighth incident of prayer, not the eighth time the Lord prayed, but one of the eight incidences that we have looked at of him praying. And we began to think about this thought in John 12, verses 27 through verse number 30. We've entitled this The Conquest by Prayer, The Conquest by Prayer. As we began to look at that, we talked, first of all, the pain of prayer. And we made reference to John 12, verse 27, the first part of that verse, where the Lord says, "Now is my soul troubled." And we looked at the character of that pain. And then as we moved through the character of the pain, we saw the cause of the pain. And he said, "Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." So really the statement there that's made by Christ really tells us really what troubled his soul. And what troubled his soul was the prospect of going to the cross of Calvary. And then as we moved from the cause of the pain, we moved on to letter C, which was the caution in the pain. And we looked at John 12, verse 27, and the second part of the verse where the Lord said, "And what shall I say?" And we talked about the caution here concerning what Christ would say under the duress of the troubling of his soul. So we spoke about that, and then we ended that section. So we're going to pick up again this evening for just a few moments, it looks like, and we're going to look at Roman numeral number 2, the pondering before the prayer, the pondering before the prayer. And we're going to begin reading again in John 12, verses 27 through verse number 30. And who would read that for the pastor this evening? All right, Ms. Gail, thank you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening, and we thank you for this time that we can be together. Father, open up your word and study a small portion, a couple of verses, Father, that would speak about the pondering before your son's prayer. So, Father, now would you give us enlightenment to the word. May the Holy Spirit of God do a work in our hearts, Father, and we'll be thankful for what you're going to do. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. So, again, we're talking about the pondering before the prayer. We already have said and already have seen when Christ said in John 12 and verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." And as we would think about the verse 27, in this verse, Christ was primarily pondering on what to say to the Heavenly Father during his prayer concerning his troubling of his soul. I don't know if you're like Christ or not, but oftentimes before I pray, I think about what I want to pray about. I mean, I have a prayer list, we have a prayer sheet, and some of you have prayer journals, but oftentimes before I actually get down to the moment of prayer, that I think, well, what am I going to pray about? What am I going to ask the Lord for? What am I going to uplift today? What am I going to ask God to do in the life of this church, in the life of the people that call themselves members and regular attenders of Sharon Baptist Church? And so as I thought about that, I thought, you know what? Christ did the same thing, and he was pondering about what he's going to say to the Father before he even prayed. And we find that he was speaking to himself, even though he was surrounded by a crowd of people. One Bible scholar by the name of Gordon says this. It says that he was seemingly forgetful for the moment of the bystanders, as though he was soliloquizing. Some Bible scholars view this statement as an actual prayer, but it seems pretty clear to me, and that these words represent a rhetorical question. That Jesus at that moment was not praying; he was asking a rhetorical question. But as Jesus asked that rhetorical question, he looks at it, but he refuses to pray that. So as we look at John 12 and verse number 27, the first part of that verse, you say, well, why do you say it's a rhetorical question? Well, because it says, "Father, save me from this hour." And so as we would think about that, if Jesus Christ was really praying a prayer to the Father, save me from this hour. At face value, it seems to me that he would be asking to be released from the cross. So if you're saying, Father, save me from this hour, and he knows what this hour is coming, the cross of Christ, we already had made mention of that in previous weeks, it seems to be that Jesus will be asking to be released from the cross, or to be released from becoming the sin bearer for sinful mankind. I don't know about you, if that would be me, that would seem like a logical thing because, you know what, I have my own things to worry about, and I'm not going to bear your sin. I can't even bear my own sin. But here we have the sinless Son of God. And so I think these words represent a rhetorical question that Jesus looks at, he ponders, but he really refuses to pay it. So think about this. If that was a true prayer, a request going up to God the Father, it's as if he was saying, I don't want to go through this terrible experience of bearing the sins for the whole world. And if it was a prayer, it would be a prayer, really, that was a cop-out for the calling that God the Father had for him. If it was a prayer, it would really warrant criticism of these words in Mark chapter 8 and verse 37, where the Bible says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And so if this was a prayer, that would really be a statement that the Lord made that would be an untruth. And so it would have been a prayer also that would have went against, get this now, the will of God. But I don't believe that was the prayer. I believe that was a rhetorical question that he pondered. But then I believe it was a prayer that was quickly and decisively rejected by the Lord Jesus Christ. William Hendrickson writes on this passage, some think that he actually wavered in this moment in his obedience to God the Father, that for an instant he rebelled against the idea of having to suffer on the cross. Our answer to that would be this, perish the thought. So our next point really was going to prove that not for one second did Jesus Christ ever waver in his obedience to God's perfect will. And I think that we'll stop right there because we'll go ahead and finish. So we had the rejected prayer, but then notice the reaffirmed purpose. Notice in John 12 and verse 27, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Here is the prayer that Christ was praying. In this part of the verse, we find that Jesus Christ reaffirms the reason and purpose that he came into this world. This statement really says a lot about why Jesus Christ was incarnated. It says primarily that Jesus Christ came into the world to die on the cross and be a substitute for sinners. Somebody say, glory, hallelujah, amen. I'm glad that he did that because I am and was one of those sinners that he died for. He didn't come in the world primarily just to heal people, although he is the great physician and he does heal people. I think the first and main reason that Jesus Christ came into the world was for this, Calvary. That's why he came, and that's why he died. And all the teaching that goes on in our independent fundamental Baptist churches that ignores this primary reason why he came, we could classify really as false teaching. The cross needs to be front and center in all that we do. It needs to be primary in our preaching and primary in our teaching. I don't think there's any clearer statement by Christ concerning his primary purpose. Others have maybe said it in a different way. I think the Apostle Paul has said it pretty eloquently in a couple of passages in the Pauline epistles. But I don't think there's any clearer statement made by Jesus Christ himself concerning his primary purpose of the incarnation. Notice what he said. He said, for this cause came I unto this hour. Well, next week we'll continue with this conquest of prayer, and we'll look at the petition in prayer found in John 12 in verse number 28. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love. Oh, Father, we thank you that we can look at this passage of Scripture and look at this petition in the prayer. Father, I pray as we think about the pondering before the prayer, Lord, that the prayer that was rejected, but then, Father, the reaffirmed purpose of the prayer. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, if there be anyone here, even amongst this Wednesday prayer and Bible study time, Father, doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, I